Okay, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can we have a roll call? Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Fourpoint?
Here.
Director Village?
Here.
Director Woolman?
Present.
Vice President Cesenia? President Olivsky?
Present. Okay, for those of you who don't know yet, I'm a lot bit under the weather, as those who are here Monday can testify to, so hopefully I'll be able to make it through the meeting, but if not, I'm going to turn it over to Vicki as the previous past president. Okay, so public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker. And in December of last year, your general manager was before you asking for a budget adjustment for directors' compensation. She said, we have more directors going to more meetings. Well, we don't have more directors, and we certainly don't have more meetings. There's only certain meetings that are eligible for compensation, which would relate to that number that she was trying to get you to increase in the budget. So I investigated what she was trying to tell you, and it turns out, and I shared with you all, that directors were taking compensation for meetings that were not eligible to be compensated for. We're talking about something that came up 10 months ago. Your board reacted with a bylaw amendment, but you didn't address the funds that should have been reimbursed to the district. When we have our warrant list and we go through and we see what expenditures have been made by the district, we know what it's for. It has a definition. There are numerous meetings that we're compensated for that are a mystery. Meetings that just say ad hoc, which I would argue ad hoc committees aren't eligible, but ad hoc for what is not there. There's no definition of what ad hoc committee was being compensated for. There was no limit put on how many times an ad hoc committee could actually get together and take compensation. There are meetings with the attorney, meetings with staff, meeting with the general manager, meeting with the chief, the fire chief, meeting with other directors. All of this is not explained. So I am still concerned that these are public funds that went to directors without explanation, without reports advising us of what the meeting was. And the totals, I went back over 6 years, and the totals are close to $10,000 in directors' compensation.
Thank you.
That was ineligible.
And any other public comment for items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to administrative and committee reports. Fire department report, please. Fire fair is coming up.
It is. Good evening, Board of Directors and citizens of Los Osos. My name is George Huang, Battalion Chief for CAL FIRE, San Luis Obispo County FIRE, and your Battalion Chief for Los Osos. For the period of July 24th to September 24th, your fire station ran 268 calls. That include 146 medical aids, 32 traffic collisions, 16 incidents that were reported as fire, anywhere from campfires out in Montana de Oro to possible fires within the community, and 40 public service assists and 26 false alarms. Your reserve firefighters also covered the station while we were gone 18 times between this period. The big thing that we are trying to promote is that we do have a fire safety fair coming up on October 12th. I hope to see everyone there. And we have every local government agency from slow ambulance to fire to police will all be there. And all the proceeds and everything that we're going to raise, fill the boot, et cetera, are going to Olivia Gonzalez, the four-year-old that burned her feet during the fire pits in Montana de Oro. So I hope please spread the word to the community and everyone else, and I hope to see everyone there. And Phil, the last thing we have is we conducted more interviews for reserve firefighters. We had nine folks that interviewed with us, and we're moving forward to hire some more reserve firefighters. End of report. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Oops. Is this on? Is mine on? Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Is mine on? I'm not hearing well, so...
Good evening, Deputy Adams with the San Luis Obispo Sheriff's Office. For the month of September, we responded to, or we had 557 calls for service, which is up from 530 of last year. We took 86 reports for the month, which was up from 50 for last year as well. Of note, there was two calls for service for assaults or batteries, one that was taken for an arrest for a restraining order violation. 56 calls for service for disturbances. Of that, 15 reports were taken. One was a disturbance on the 500 block of Lilac that resulted in a criminal complaint for battery charge. Two calls for service, which resulted in two reports for that. One of note was a report of cannabis plants taken for a loss of over $900. Five calls for service for theft, of which four reports were taken. Of note, report of a bicycle theft at the 1,000 block of San Ynez. Three calls for service of vandalism, generating one report. Vandalism to a vehicle in the 1,000 block of 9th Street. Zero calls for mail theft and therefore zero reports. We had three calls for phone scams that resulted in zero reports. And then 15 calls for service of suspicious circumstances, which generated two reports. Of note, one being a report of an abandoned bicycle and clothing on Bayview Heights Drive. Is that too fast? Sorry. He said to keep it short, so. Any questions?
Any questions? Nope.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
I wanted to go back to fire for a quick second.
Oh, I see how it is.
No, the fire safety fair, yes, I think you might want to go into a little more detail of the time and the location.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah. I'm sorry, I wrote that down, and then you walked away before I got a chance.
No worries. October 12th, Saturday, October 12th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., right here on Los Osos Valley Road at the Rite Aid parking lot. So we'll have all the vehicles parked and around in a big circle with the food truck and everything. And please come early and then stay till the end.
Thank you. I apologize for.
Okay, utilities report.
Good evening, Mr. President, Board of Directors, citizens of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm the Utility Systems Manager for Los Osos CSD. Tonight I'm reporting on the water updates for August 2019. I apologize in advance that I didn't bring July numbers and we missed last month's meeting, but if needed, I could bring them next month as well. Just a couple quick reports. We produced 15.4 million gallons for the month of August, and that equated to an average daily demand of 496,000 gallons, which equated to about 66.3 gallons per day per person. That's a decrease from 69 gallons per day per person of last year. So the conservation efforts are still continuing in the district. Keep it up. The figures for the flows and the electrical figures are posted in the report below. The water billing information for the month of August, we billed for approximately 15 million gallons, which produced revenues of about $272,000. A few of the ongoing in the distribution and treatment sections are they continue in the valve maintenance exercise program, water service line repairs at 1440 Santa Isabella Road, and we've continued the work on decommissioning of the Bay Ridge septic tanks. We're almost completed with that. We have one tank to decommission, and we should be done with that. That requires some slurrying, so it's requiring another contractor to come in and finish that work up. And a couple quick announcements from the utility department. We have two retirements or two separations from the district. Robert DeMau was an operator, and he has retired. And so we're going out for recruitment for his position. And Liz Revbansky, our utility billing specialist, who's been with the district for 6 years, has decided she's going back to live with her family in Austin, and she has a job out there, and she's moving soon as well. So, do I have any questions from the board?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, General Manager.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. My first report to you since we canceled my first supposed meeting. So it's nice to be here. Real quick, Jose mentioned a couple of the things that I had put in my manager's report. We did hire Carol Gimmer. She has been a temp for us for about 5 months, was doing an outstanding job. She went through the interview process and came out on top. So we hired her, and she accepted the position. So she's been with us about a little over a month now. To replace Liz, we went out back out for interviews and interviewed quite a great group of individuals, very capable. Alicia Zuniga came out on top. She's accepted the position. She's going to start part-time training with Liz starting next week and then come on full-time October 14th. Liz's last day is October 21st, so we'll have a week of overlap. And Liz has been wonderful. I can't say enough how, you know, she's been great in helping the recruitment and staying on. And for the past 6 years that she's been with the district. Other activities I wanted to highlight were we did start our annual financial audit. The auditors were in the office at the end of August and will return, I believe, next week to finish up. Hopefully have our audit report out in December. And then finally, Rob Miller and I went up to Salinas to do a presentation to the Department of Water Resources on our 8th Street Well grant. I had wrapped up this almost final submittal. We did the presentation. That went well. The award is lagging, though, on the DWR side, and we're not anticipating that till June 2020. With that, any questions?
So the award couldn't be awarded until you're ready to go to construction anyway, so till 2020, right?
Right. We'll have to wait. Yeah. We can do all the preliminary work, though, to award. We were hoping it was going to be March. Right. That was the first date that was thrown out there. But at these meetings, they said it was going to be more like June.
Okay. All right. Any questions besides mine? All right. The LOCAC report. Lynette, I assume you're giving that?
I am. Lynette Tornotsky. I'm the secretary at LOCAC. We had a meeting September 26th at Sea Pines Golf Resort. And you might be wondering why I have this giant book with me. It's the Los Osos Community Plan Draft Environmental Impact Report. And that was the biggest thing that happened at that meeting. There were a couple other things that also happened, so I'll get into that quickly. County Senior Planner Carrie Brown had two announcements about the planning department working on two general plan updates. They're going to be held in San Luis Obispo at the Slow City County Library. One is on the housing element. One is on the safety element. The housing element workshop is October 16th from 6 to 8. And the safety element is October 23rd from 5:30 to 7:30. She also announced, besides this draft environmental impact report, that the habitat conservation plan that we've been waiting forever for is supposed to be released next month. Now, Supervisor Gibson also reported that it's going to the Federal Registry next week, and that starts a 45-day comment period. We have a much longer comment period on our giant DEIR, Draft Environmental Impact Report, and I will get to where that is in a minute. The report is really broken into a bunch of sections. I would give you the county website. It's a longer address. If you go to locac.info, you can find the link to the county website, and you can find the three parts that are contained in this giant book. The most readable one is the executive summary, and that one's only about 70 pages. The rest of this altogether make 1,000 pages, more or less. And if you're interested in how the planning is looking for this community, you really want to take a look at this book. You can see it at our library, actually. It's also at the county library, and it's also at Cal Poly. So there's three places where if you don't want to download it and print it or read it, you can find this at those libraries. So I'm not going to get into how it's all broken down. She said that there would be a meeting that would be held in conjunction with Fish and Wildlife Service. They're also going to be doing a meeting on the Habitat Conservation Plan and the draft EIR together. She doesn't have a date yet, but if you would like to get on the mailing list to attend that meeting, you can email Carrie Brown, kbrown@co.slo.ca.us. If you would like to be on the list to attend that meeting, because the date is not out there yet. So that was basically what the meeting was about. And if you have any questions.
Any questions? Nope. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Chamber of Commerce report.
Hello, I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. I'd like to tell you about a new event that's going to happen this month. We, the Chamber, are having a community barbecue at the Chamber of Commerce, which is at the corner of Los Osos Valley Road and Palisades, right. Yeah.
That's
going to happen on October 19th, which is a Saturday, from 12 to 3. So, come join us. We're going to have a Santa Maria-style barbecue, and it's going to be in our parking lot, and we'll have tables set up, and you can either come in and sit down and have a meal, or we'll also have them to go. So either way, it's just $10 a plate for barbecue and salad and
bread and beans.
If you need to buy a ticket, I think there may be some tickets in this room somewhere, or you can stop by the chamber office and or stop someone from the chamber and they'll give you a ticket. There'll be beer, wine, and non-alcoholic beverages will be available. So, again, that's Saturday, October 19, from 12 to 2 at the Chamber. The Chamber Oktoberfest closing in, that's going to be October 27th, Sunday. It's going to be on Second Street in Baywood. Starts out with a four-mile run. They're not doing any pre-registrations this year. It's come in and register. Starts at 7:30. And I see that the time is now 9 o'clock. I think it's been at like 8:30. But the run starts, the four-mile run starts at 9 o'clock. The Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast starts at 8 o'clock and runs till 10. The music's going to start at 10:30, and Back Bay Betty will kick it off. Then at 12:30, Mama Tumba. And then after Mama Tumba finishes, we'll have awards for the car show, the motorcycle show. We have three costume contests, the for adult, child, and, of course, dogs. Also, we'll have Best of the Fest, the beer tasting contest. You can be a beer judge, and what you do is you buy raffle tickets, and they'll draw to see who wants to be a judge. That's always fun. And then we'll end up with the Mother Corn Shuckers will be the final band, and that's at 3:30, and the festival ends at 5:30. So a big day, as usual. Understand the weather's going to be really good. And that's about it. That's all I have. So.
Any questions?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
You're going to give you a total advisory
report. One more thing. I just want to – part of the proceeds for the barbecue is going to go to a local charity here in Los Osos. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Utility Advisory Committee.
I can give a brief report for Chuck. We discussed many of the items that were on the consent agenda, like the recycled water, the water reserves. One of the announcements he made from the BMC that they announced Rob Miller's replacement, Dan Heimel from Water Systems Consulting. So he'll be coming on board and overlap with Rob phasing out at the end of the year, which is sad. But other than that, it's most of the things that you're seeing on the agenda tonight.
Any questions? Okay, financial advisory. I can talk to two, and then Chris can talk to the rest. Regarding the which is consent item F, 5F, and 6A, the committee recommended that the board approve those two items. And do you want to?
I didn't bring it. Do you have the
meeting, the warrant register, and the financial reports, the recommendation on those?
They recommended to receive and file.
Okay. All right. So any questions about either of us? All right. Announcements at other training programs, conferences, seminars, et cetera. I know that Chuck took my place at the BMC, so other than what I knew, which was that we did decide unanimously to hire Rob's replacement, and like you said, it's a sad thing that he's moving on,
yes.
But it is what it is. So anybody else have anything else? Okay, so then we'll move to the last item on item three, which is response to previously asked questions. And this was brought up earlier today, but I believe, Jeff, that you're prepared to discuss the director's compensation question that's come up previously. I would like to say as a qualifier, it's taken us a while to get Jeff up to speed on the district, et cetera, and so it has taken a while to get where we wanted to go. So with that, I'll hand it off to you.
Thank you, President Ohilski, directors of the board. So the issue has come up, and your board has asked me to look into it, and this is the issue of directors' compensation. And all of this issues, we're talking about an issue that implicates many, many years, many different directors and many boards and many general managers over the course of time. And the issue is, how has compensation been paid to directors over the course of time, and what was proper pursuant to the government code, what deviated, if at all, and where are we, and what does your board desire to do about moving forward? So just to kind of give you the lay of the land on this, the government code is very clear that Directors of the board may receive compensation for meetings, specifically regular meetings of the legislative body in addition to advisory bodies. In addition to that, your board and many boards in the local surrounding communities adopt policies to provide compensation for all sorts of other meetings that benefit their districts. Your board certainly has the ability to do that, too. So you have a broad authority to grant and compensate directors for attendance at all sorts of meetings. And the caveat there is that the government code does require that that type of compensation is done through board action identified through the bylaws. Now, what I've discovered since I've been here is that over the course of time and many years and many boards, this district has slowly deviated from a strict compliance with your existing bylaws, and for reasons that are not exactly clear, it appears that it's really just been a pattern and practice has developed to grant compensation for different meetings, and that has happened, and not just your board, many boards and many other directors. And so it's difficult to know if that was just information passed along from board members, misunderstandings passed along through the years, misunderstanding at the general manager level. But certainly money was paid out that doesn't appear to strictly comply with your bylaws. Now, it appears that all of this has happened as really just a misunderstanding, both at the board level, general manager level, director level. And there is no allegations at all of any intentional wrongdoing. We're not talking about an issue where somebody has pilfered from the funds or taken money or said they went to a meeting that they never went to with the intent to deceive. That's not the issue. These are all just misunderstandings as far as we can tell. But there is a request from a member of the public to look into this and to seek a remedy of restitution of these funds of some sort. So where are we? What is the remedy, if any, available? There is no real specific law that I can find that specifically addresses this type of situation. The closest you get is what is identified in the code as a misuse of public funds. That's really what the allegation is. There's been a misuse. So what is a misuse of public funds? Well, we do get some guidance from the government code, and misuse of public funds is money used for personal use. Now, personal use is very specifically defined. Personal use is money that is for your own personal gain as a director, and that's the first part. Second part is not related to district business. So is that what we have here? Well, personal gain, maybe there is some sort of compensation paid, but is it unrelated to the district business? As far as I can tell, whether or not specifically identified in the bylaw, each of these meetings was attended by a director to advance the business of the board. There is no one submitting receipts for meetings that are unrelated to the district business, so that doesn't quite fit. Now, the other element of a misuse of public funds is that the conduct has to be either negligent or intentional. So was it negligent for any directors? Well, that's difficult to say because directors come in, they kind of learn from what the existing policy is. Oftentimes, directors at board levels, at boards of this size, local communities, not drawing in from experienced politicians. Directors tend to learn about the systems from the general managers, from other directors, and so was it negligent? That is certainly unclear to me. But what about intentional? Again, there's no allegations of intentional misconduct of any kind. And I will be clear, the government code specifically identifies that incidental or minimal use of funds is not actionable at all. So that essentially is where we are at the lay of the land on that. So, but we do have a request for restitution. And so if your board wants to do something, what can you do? Well, I will say it is clear to me that board members have made a good faith effort to pay back money where they could identify that they had received funds that were not in strict compliance with the bylaws. They made a good faith effort to do what they could. I also know that this question on director compensation for this particular agency has been referred to the district attorney, and the district attorney has an investigation that's not closed. It's ongoing, and so there is another agency that does have enforcement power looking into that, and maybe that is okay because that's separate from this board and separate from your agency, so you're not investigating yourselves. And I will say, just for the interest of the public and your board, the district attorney has a new division or unit, I think is what they call it, called the Public Integrity Division, specifically designed to look into these sorts of things. So I guess where you are today on this is that we know that your board of directors, sitting directors, have made a good faith effort to give back whatever they feel they should. We know nothing intentionally was done. We know all the meetings that were taken were for the benefit and related to the district business. And we know there's an investigation going on anyway. So the way I see it is you have choices. You could decide to create some sort of further investigation that in a sense would be parallel to what it appears the DA is already doing. You could decide to stand down and wait and see what the DA ends up coming out and saying. Maybe you'd have a claim of restitution, maybe not. But in any case, I think that there are certain things that you probably could do moving forward, and I think maybe you might decide just to simply focus your energies on moving forward towards transparency and correcting and being more careful now that this issue has come to your attention. So one issue is I do know that stipends were not on the warrant package in the past. They were on the part of the payroll. And although every payment made to any director always was approved by the board, there's no question about that, it was done through a salary schedule and not as a specific warrant that could be specifically identified what director went here. And I think that would be a good policy moving forward to put stipends on the warrant package. The other thing, I guess, as a final matter is your board may desire in next year or at whenever your board, the pleasure of the board, to bring the issue of director compensation back and look at what other agencies are doing for compensation at meetings, and maybe you would like to make changes. And with that, I'd entertain any questions from the board.
Any questions? I have a question. So it seems like maybe, how do you feel that the bylaws as they're currently worded, do they need further clarification? Because that's something that we do annually in our bylaws. So it may be something we want to look at when we do our bylaw update in February.
Yes, I would think that's a good idea, and I think it would be interesting for your board to look at how other local community services district pay compensation so that you get a broader sense of what your neighbors are doing and what you feel would fairly compensate boards. I mean, I am very well aware that directors work very hard, and it's not a well-paying gig.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay. So before we go on to public comment, does anybody want to pull an item on the consent agenda?
I have a comment to make, if you don't mind. Found an error in our financials. Can I point that out now?
Well, I think I have to defer to our attorney on that one.
Oh, so just to be clear, I don't know how your previous counsel did it. You don't need to pull items just because you have questions about them.
No, just for clarification. Yeah.
You can always ask questions to staff.
No, I was just asking, should he do it now or should after we do public comment? That was what I was asking.
Oh, I think probably now is more appropriate in case there's a change.
That was my question. I'm
okay,
sorry,
really quick on 5D on our financial reports. After the board packet and the Finance Advisory Committee packet went out, we discovered an error in the professional services, line item 7303. It's showing $16,421. If you recall, back in the August meeting, we'd received two invoices from Grace Environmental, one for June, which was the $8,010, and one for July for $8,400. We subsequently, and those were what got entered into July. So we've gone back. We made, this is on your in front of you, we made the adjustment to do the $8,010 for June and the $8,010 for July. But in this packet, it shows a $16,000. I just wanted to point that out and tell you that that error has been corrected.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. With that, then, we'll go to public comment on items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. Nothing pulled for separate consideration, so all items.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And when you're looking at those Grace Environmental expenses, maybe double-check the last one. It's just over $2,000.
Yeah, the $2,500. I did look at that one.
No back and forth.
Is that accurate? Because 13 days of work in a month seems like it would be a little higher. Just double check that. With regard to Mr. Minnery's report, no, it's not a great paying gig. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about serving your community. There was a good faith effort for funds to be returned. Absolutely not a good faith effort. Not a good faith effort. The analysis that Ms. Osborne did was for 1 year. And when she came back and there was some debt, then there was some credit, she gave credit to meetings that weren't meetings. So it's skewed. So without an audit of what meetings were ineligible at the time, as specified by the government code and the district's bylaws, you don't know what the number is and who owes how much and how far back can you legally go. And yes, former board members are on the hook. These are not their funds. These are public funds. And when you look at the list of meetings, as I stated in my comments earlier, they are not defined as what kind of meetings, how long they lasted, what ad hoc for what? Ad hoc for I like coffee, I went to Starbucks. What ad hoc what meeting? So I disagree that there were meetings for the benefit of the district. There's a meeting at Cuesta College for District 2. I don't know what that is. We're Los Osos Community Services District. We're not District 2. So why was Ms. Millage at that meeting? No one asked her to go to that meeting. And the way the government code reads is that if the board wants representation at a public meeting that were perhaps at Cuesta College, they would pre-approve the request for her to go. They would, at the meeting before, ask her to go and represent the district. It's very clear in the government code, and I think you need an audit of the situation. I think funds should be returned. Let the DA do real business, big business. There are real criminals out there. Just pay the money back after there's an audit to see exactly what you owe the district. Each and every one of you, except Marshall, owes this district money.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, my comments have been heard before by some of you, but with the full board here, except for Chuck, and I know he's heard this comment. Item F under consent you're transferring some more money to Pacific Premier Bank from the for the reserves for the water and fire, and this was brought up at the finance meeting. I think somewhere in the near future, the board needs to look at the investment policy for this district, have an in-depth look at it, come up with plans for the future. We know the markets are really unstable right now. So that's just, anyway. And then my other comment is, even though the financials were approved for filing, there is an inaccuracy, and there is an issue with the drainage reserves and the balance sheet, the reserves for capital improvement and contingency reserve. That I know Ron's working on it, but just keep in mind you're approving something to be filed that has an inaccuracy of a substantial dollar amount. I know it doesn't mean anything in the total dollar amount for those funds, but it is reflecting inaccurate totals.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay. Before I take a motion here, I just wanted to, one thing that I'm going to put on the work program for next year is to look at the investment policies because it is fairly dated. Would that be a good way to put it?
Sure.
So in our work program for next year, we will add look at and updating the investment policies.
Okay. Okay,
are we? I need a motion first. Can I have a motion to receive and file and approve the consent agenda items, please?
So moved. I second.
Okay, now you can take a vote.
Director Corcoran?
Yes.
Director Mullis?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
President Obelsky?
Yes. Okay, with that, we'll move on to our general action item 6A.
Thank you. This is a consideration of establishing a recycled water rate for the San Luis Coastal Unified School District properties, Baywood Elementary and Los Osos Middle School. Just a little bit of background quickly. Delivering recycled water to the community has been envisioned as part of our basin plan or a part of our basin plan for many, many years. My background in working with the county, I spent 3 years negotiating contracts to get the water to be able to flow from the wastewater plant to the community. So that's all in place. This is kind of the last step for the district to check a box so they're comfortable with what rate they'll be charged. I wanted to point out when we developed the water rates, as Richard Marcus and Rob Miller and myself back in 2017, we had contemplated the delivery of recycled water back then. We thought it was going to be sooner than later. And so we built the what will be the decrease in revenue associated with any pricing incentive that we provide the school district in those rates. So that we're the if we approve the proposed rate of the 10% reduction, it will not have impact on existing customers. And that 10% was the number that we used in that rate analysis. Going to the Prop 218 analysis, working with our counsel, Mr. Minery, we spent some time discussing this with between ourselves and other attorneys, and in effect that we only have two properties owned by one, or two properties that are owned by the same entity. We're not imposing a new fee. It's not a new water rate. It's maybe the change in what we're calling it as a rate, and we're not increasing that fee. We're decreasing the fee. So after contemplating all this, we decided it really wasn't in the purview of Prop 218 and that we could move forward in the manner that we're doing tonight. We are limiting or being specific to San Luis Coastal Unified School District properties to ensure that it's recognized that we're only impacting these two or one property owner. And I have concurrence from the school district that they support the reduction in price by 10%. With that, I'll answer any questions.
Any questions?
I have a couple that I came up with driving today. But I wanted to ask about the school district and the contract to take the water. Are they contractually obligated to take a certain amount? Or can they take can they use recycled water at will, as in as much as they want or as little as they want?
Okay, that's a
supplement
really,
with well water.
That's a great question, because there is no contract with the school district. Okay. If you recall, there was an action that the county tried to enter into a contract to deliver directly to the schools, and that was deemed to be invalid or illegal, actually, because of the Duplication of Service Act.
Right.
So the contracts that I was working with is really, it was with the CSD and with Golden State Water and S&T Mutual. So they will remain a customer.
Right.
They'll have a separate meter for that water, the recycled water.
Okay.
It'll be divided off of from their potable, so it'll be, you know, independent of the potable system completely. And they do not currently use well water. So it'll be metered water that we provide this 10% reduction to.
Our well water.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, there's provisions in the contract with the CSD and Golden State that if the county is unable to deliver recycled water for any reason, the county's obligated to come in and rehook them back up at no cost to the district. So if there's an issue with the recycled water.
So they're attaching certain parts of their water use, which is like the turf, I think we talked about at UAC.
Right. Yes, exactly.
To the purple pipe.
Purple pipe, and it'll go down to the lower.
It won't have like a T. It'll be just recycled water.
It'll be just recycled water.
So if they were to decide we don't want to take the water anymore for whatever reason, they could switch back?
Yes, in theory, they can.
Gotcha.
Because they are our customer. Of course, we as a district, I think, support the use of recycled water and would discourage that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand has to happen.
Legally, we can't mandate that they, I mean.
Well, that's an interesting thing. We can. We can.
No, we can't mandate that they have to use X million of gallons per year.
No.
That's
no. What it, yeah.
Got it.
No, we wouldn't require a certain amount.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
That was it?
That's it.
Okay, public comment then on this item, please.
Julie Tacker, and while I'm in support of the agreement, the larger question, and maybe we talk about it in about 5 years, is the contract with Sea Pines. Sea Pines is a for-profit company, and they are enjoying the same water produced by the same wastewater project at the same rate as was contracted for farmers, $100 an acre foot with a reduction after so many acre feet. They'll be using far more water than the middle school or Baywood Elementary School ever will. And me, as a taxpayer who also pays for the water at those schools, has heartburn over the fact that I'm going to pay twice. I'm going to pay to treat the water as a sewer customer, and then I'm going to pay to buy the water from the CSD as a school district customer, where Sea Pines, with the largest amount of turf in the district, is going to enjoy this other lower rate. And so when it's time for contracts to be renegotiated, that all needs to be in perspective, and I'm hoping that you all as board members keep that in mind, and when it's time at the BMC meetings, et cetera, wherever you are, that you take that all into consideration.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Close it, bring it back to the board.
All right, I move that the board adopt resolution amending Appendix A to Title II of the Los Osos Community Services District Code to establish a recycled water rate for San Luis Coastal Unified School District properties.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay, seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. Okay, moving on to 7. There was no pulled consent items. So 8, future agenda items. Anybody have anything they'd like to bring up today? Okay, seeing none. Closing board comments. I'll start with you, Chris. You can say no if you want. Put you on the spot.
Let's see. I believe next month the South Bay Women's Network will be giving out scholarships to re-entry women college students, and they are still accepting applications through October 15th. If you know anyone, please recommend them. You can find the application at info.sbwn.org, I believe.
Oh.
Just do a Google search of SBWN.
Just do a Google search.
South Bay Women's Network. So.
South Bay Women's Network.
Yes, we need applications, please.
Okay. Anything, Vicki? Matthew, anything?
No, I guess this is kind of a future agenda item, but so we're going to revisit the bylaws for directors' compensation next year.
With our annual review.
Okay, correct. And then we're going to, in a future agenda, have an investment policy
correct.
Discussion. Okay.
And then, okay, my last comment is fire safety fair, which is on the week from Saturday from 11 to 3 out in the Miners parking lot. Very, very exciting event. So those of you can go. I usually hang around for the full 4 hours. I don't know, but it's really a good event. It has a lot of training on fire, and it's good for the kids to learn a lot about it. And so I would just mention a fire safety fair in Miners Park, or pardon me, Bright Aids parking lot, 11 to 3, week from Saturday. With that, we'll be adjourned. Thank you.